everyone. Tune in next week for a much more enthusiastic Desmond. Until then, it's Justin's show.
That's right. I'm so ready.
I am so ready, too, that I can't talk. I don't have one. I don't have an episode in me to talk about what's coming anymore. I just want to see it.
Oh, man, don't worry. We'll make it up.
I'll have some reactions. I just have nothing to launch with.
Totally. I got tons of shit. So today I will be your Marty McFly Sedai because I'm fresh off a guest spot on Time Pop, this other great podcast that I'm on that somebody else I know runs.
Yeah.
And I'm here. I'm ready. I have my personal Choden call access keys, one male, one female, just in case. And I'm ready to go, man. We got the editor here with us from the Watt Fan Edit. Man, it is good to see your face. It's good to hear your voice. I know that we had a little hiccup that we thought maybe wasn't going to happen, but I'm glad you're here. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to make it. And yeah, I decided I'm going to wake up early and join. I didn't want to miss this.
I love it, man.
Thank you so much. This is definitely this gives our final episode before season two some real juice. So thanks for coming on.
You're too kind. You're too kind, really.
How excited?
I'm so excited. Go ahead, Des.
Maybe you can answer this question. I kind of made the assumption I didn't try too hard, but you can't watch Fireworks offline, right?
You can download the video file. So that works.
Oh, you can?
Yes, you can. So the trick is interface isn't so simple. So there's a little share button in the bottom right corner. You know, the little, usually it's like a little dot with these two lines or something.
Yeah.
And if you click on that, then it pulls up a little download button and you can pull that.
Okay. I just assume since I'm not paying for anything that I wouldn't be able to make it my, I was basically what I'm trying to get to is I was on a vacation and I was watching, I wanted to do a rewatch. And I started watching season one and I enjoyed it, but it's just so much content that I probably could have gotten through the edit, though I didn't get through season one. So, okay, good to know. Good to know. I will download it and smash that soon.
Awesome. And thanks very much. I mean, I know it's quite a time commitment, so thanks for even rewatching it. And also, if you have any feedback, please let me know.
The best feedback I have is I got to ask you, did you throw the Run Brother in with the wolves for us? Was that for us? Or am I just being...
Absolutely. No, it didn't even cross my mind when I was doing the first edit. I think my thought process doing the first version was just, you know, just cutting everything into a movie. And then now that I've had more time to think about things and, you know, come up with new ideas and so on, this is like one of those things that came up. There's actually quite a few very cool technical things I've done in this one that I didn't do in the first one, which was just, you know, cutting everything into a movie. And so I'm very happy. And the subtitles are one of those.
Oh, you got subtitles?
For the wolves.
Oh.
Did you guys? Okay. So these guys, they're not on Twitter. When you see Twitter, it's me.
Okay. All right.
Cool. 90% of the time. So I try to send it to these guys. Jeremy's not on Twitter. I try to spoil. And before I get into it too much after this conversation, I'm going to ask you how much you've been paying attention because I don't want to ruin anything that you're trying to avoid. That being said, you know, he's been doing some tweaks lately. And like when Perrin is kind of staring at the wolves during the White Cloak attack, like they bark at him and he put a subtitle in that says, "Run, brother, run," you know, and Perrin's like, and it takes off. But it's like that's direct drop from the book. And I thought that was really cool. One of the other things you did, you dropped the 360 spin motion, which I kind of like, but I liked how I saw the clip that you put that was less spinny, and I thought that was cool too. So that was just two of the things that I noticed.
There's actually quite a lot of changes, even though ultimately it's the same film with the same story arc and so on. But there's a lot of small and medium things that I've done to smooth things out. A few of the reviews that came in pointed out some inconsistencies or some rough, you know, edits, cuts, basically. So I smoothed things out. I reduced other scenes, and then I added in new scenes just to keep that continuity, or I lengthened some scenes so that the edit is a bit smoother and so on. So there's a lot of that. Ultimately...
Did it shrink or grow a lot?
5 minutes less. That's about it. That's about it. And not for lack of trying, right? Like I was setting myself the objective of getting it down to 4 hours. And I cut out whole scenes, did a watch through, wasn't happy, was having sleepless nights to say, look, now it feels like a fan edit instead of an actual film that someone decided to make end to end. And I thought, no, I'm not satisfied with that. I'm going to add it back. it's gonna take me back to my original sort of length. But I'd rather have a long film than one that feels like it was. I never wanted it to feel like an amateur job, like it was cut by a fan, with existing footage. I wanted it to feel as if this was how an editor would have cut it into a movie. So I sacrificed length to get there. But I think it's better for it.
Speaking for myself, that's how it went the first time. I mean, me and Jeremy still talk about the way that it, you know, came together. So
there were so many times when we rewatched the second season, or sorry, the first season, and I would be like, oh, I totally forgot about this because in your version, you'd cut it out. And I was like, oh, this is so superfluous. You didn't need it. And you cut it out. And I was like, yes, that got to the point. And it got to the heart of the matter so much sooner. I loved it.
Jeremy, I was watching Lost today, dreaming about your 20-minute edit.
Oh my God. My 20-minute edit would be like yeah. they crash, there's Desmond, the end. No one knows.
Everyone's dead.
They were dead the whole time, but they're not.
And I have not watched one episode of Lost, so I don't have a clue what you're talking
about. You're a better man for it, trust me. I promise you. You're a better man for it. No.
Wonderful
journey. Hundreds of hours you would have wasted your life on.
that's a series that's definitely sort of journey before destination. Because yeah, the destination, not so
it's
much.
It's about the journey, man.
Seriously. Okay.
I'm freshly lacquered too, trying to get in with the Sean Chan, just two. Trying to get in the low blood. Got the side shaved, you know what I'm saying?
You got to grow it out.
We're doing it.
Nice.
Okay, we're all caught up. I'm going to try to keep Desmond from recording until 10 o'clock tonight because I'm not going to shut up. So, editor, it's great to see you. I'm glad you're here. Jeremy, Desmond, there has been so much happening. I know you guys aren't on Twitter, and I tried to send you, I don't know how much of it you watch. I try to send you the clips. What have you seen, Mr. Editor, on Twitter? Have you been watching all the clips? Have you seen what came out today?
So since this week, I've stopped looking at things because I want to try and go in as fresh as possible. So I haven't seen the Loghain Rand scene. I know it exists. I know there's a Nynaeve accepted test. I haven't looked at it at all. Interestingly,
I can leave that out if you'd like.
Yeah, let's sort of leave out any detailed descriptions of what goes on in there.
I'll be very vague about it, okay?
That's fine. I know they have a conversation. I saw some chatter about who can see whose weaves and so on, or sense the power levels and so on. So I know that's part of the conversation, but I haven't watched, like, I don't know what dialogue they have, right? Like, I just know what they're talking about. One thing that's interesting that I did see a frame of is a reshot of when Loghain's being paraded through the city and he's looking up at the two on the balcony.
Yes.
And he's looking at Rand and Rand's looking back at him. And I was like, damn it, this is just a few days too late. I wonder if I shouldn't use that cut in the fan.
That would have been great.
And then make it very clear that it's about Rand. And my only doubt is that maybe it's important in the context of that dialogue that he reveals to Rand that he was actually looking at him, right? And like, so you'll need to see the scene in the context of the episode.
I'm not going to ruin it for you.
Yeah.
So now to go back a little bit, but to incorporate what we just talked about. Now, I know it sounds like you're trying to lock season one. Just
lock it down.
More or less.
Now, if something comes up, like, could you see yourself, like, if something gets over-explained in season two, and you realize that you don't need that short scene from season one, would you consider going back and taking it out or vice versa?
Yeah, look, it took me, 10 weeks to put out version one and another year and a half to put out version two, right? So I'll reluctantly revisit it. But exactly this type of thing, right? So for example, if this conversation is like really material to season two and the fact that the boys didn't realize who Loghain was looking at is very material to that discussion and has to be in season two, then of course you'd rather keep the Matt clip in season one and show the truth in season two that he was looking at Rand. If you find that conversation is mundane or you can cut that clip out, then you just put that original footage in season one and then skip the whole discussion in season two and away you go. Yeah. So I will watch season two, do what I then call like a final canonical cut of season one and then take it from there.
I feel like that conversation with Rand and Loghain is going to head to the fact where he kind of talks about, you know, the conversation that they have later in the books, you know, why couldn't it have been me, you know, and he So like I said, I don't want to talk about that too much because it definitely, I think, kind of fixes a few things from season one that we've actually had issues with, especially as a fandom. I've been like, wait a minute, what? Like a raging sun, what? Like, why can he, you know, so.
It's kind of like editing this show, like, you know, yes, Justin, that was very interesting, but it doesn't belong in this discussion.
Why are we talking about football? What are we doing?
I think one thing to look out for, especially like in conversations like those, so between Rand and Loghain, right? And I, like I said, I didn't see the clip, so I don't know specifically what they mentioned. But if it feels as if there's part of the clip that's either over-explaining or it's trying to backtrack something from season one, because the fact that I've read online that they have a conversation about who can see whose weaves feels to me like they really, really want to clarify what the hell happened in the cave and why Loghain was flinching at Nynaeve channeling. If it feels like that, then it's going to feel a bit clunky. The other one is if there's really a conversation about healing and how death is final in order to make the Nynaeve Egwene, you know, season finale thing, you know, explain it away. And, you know, that type of stuff, you can cut out, right?
Meaning what?
Meaning that, you know, in the season finale, Nynaeve looked pretty dead from a makeup point of view and camera angle and so on. Mm-hmm. And it felt like Egwene sort of resurrected her with the One Power. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's going to be a scene in season two where they're going to, especially in the tower training, right? They're going to explain the limits of the One Power and healing and so on. And making it very clear that death can't be healed, right? So.
And that's consistent with the books too.
Yeah, I can move up that scene with Rand trying to heal the girl that's dead. I do think they're very vague about it, but the feeling that I got is that maybe instead of Loghain being able to see Tavirin as a talent with a capital T, he can kind of see people who can channel, you know, females if they're strong enough. It's that was the vibe I got. I'm just pulling that out of my ass completely.
No, that's exactly what he says. He says,
does he say that?
So not to be, so just to be super vague and to reiterate what actually happens in the book. In the book, Loghain says, when they were taking me in the cage, I looked up on the distance and I saw you.
Same as the book, you know.
Yeah. I saw Rand standing on top of the wall and you shone like a bright sun because you were a Tavirin and I have the talent for seeing Tavirin. And in the show, and I hope that this doesn't ruin it, instead of saying Tavirin, he says, I can see male channelers. Mm. And you shone brighter than anybody else I'd ever seen. And I knew that at the time, like, you're caging me, but that's the guy you actually need to worry about.
Yeah, that's the dude you need to worry about quickly. Like.
And so I started laughing. And it exactly comes from the book, which gave me a little bit of hope. Because the last season, I was so disappointed with, like, how they came off with the book. In this season, I feel like they maybe come around and be like...
Yeah, have sort of go in with mild expectations. Because one thing that the production team has... told us clearly is that this season's going to deviate massively from the books in order to try to get everybody to where they should be for book four.
To where they need to be for next season.
For book four.
Right.
Yeah. So next season is book four.
Book four, which is going to be season three.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is crazy if you think about it, right? So this season is book two and three and maybe a little bit of one all thrown in.
I would say it's mostly book two. And probably some character arcs from book three, but not the plot.
That's how I feel it's going to be too.
And so it's probably a lot of made up stuff in between to get it all together.
To get everyone there, yeah.
Which is crazy if you think that next season is going to be book four,
right?
Just book four, because they haven't said anything about five.
Yeah. Uh-uh.
And then so the next season is going to have to be five and six together is huge. That is,
yeah, and then they'll probably do like 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 in the next season. Like,
seriously,
like, there's a lot. It's gonna be fast, but, God damn it, you said something I wanted to comment on, but I forgot. Never mind, doesn't matter.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. It's fine. I'm so all over the place because I'm just so fucking excited. Literally. So just to make sure we're on the same page, last thing we'll talk about that you haven't seen. The other clip they showed was a clip of Nynaeve with the arches. And Jeremy, Mr. Cap Naysayer over here was like, okay, I'm actually pretty excited.
Yeah.
Because that was like, it was, you know, a lot of the, you know, it's got, you know, Leanne and Shiriam and Leandrin there, which I don't think Leandrin was there for Nynaeve's. I can't remember.
No, she was not.
Dialogue is like straight across rip from the books and it's legit and it looks great.
Yeah, and everything that wasn't ripped for the books is like, okay, we need to get this exposition out to explain to people what's going to happen. And so I was like, you know what? Totally fine with all of that.
Sort of like the Ishmael exposition dump from the little clip, because it was just like, hey, this. I covered about 400 pages in three books that I've been talking about this shit.
Exactly.
So, and they just had to nail it. And that we'll skip all that because there's nothing really to get into. Like I said, it's so straight across from the books. I think you'll love it. Jeremy, I know, is going to love it.
There's a certain magic that happens, I think, in our brains when the clips are really, really close to what actually happened in the books.
You are not wrong.
I think it's one of the reasons why the first three episodes of season one, they're still my favorites, because that it resonates so much with what you know. And like, you feel like, okay, these are the characters and this is what actually happened. And then anything that's a deviation is like, okay, someone else is telling a story now. I'm not invested. It's weird.
Totally,
it's weird
how that happens. It's a different story. Yeah.
That's why I hated the last two episodes so much. I was just like, oh my God.
It's hard though, because you know how much they were hamstrung by COVID.
Hamstrung by COVID.
News-wise, Jeremy and Desmond, I've been trying to send you stuff. Editor, I'm pretty sure you're caught up on this. So Fayil has been cast. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Yes.
She looks legit as fuck. I'm excited about that. I can't wait to see how they meet. Another casting is Ipsen Sedai. Des, you've probably heard of her, but not enough to matter. She's one of the Black Aja sisters, I believe, that originally starts on the tower. Ispen. I wonder if, you know, maybe Masana is maybe going to get merged with Mogadin. Maybe Mogadin's going to be in the tower.
Oh, this is a good question to ask the editor. Like, who do you think? We don't think we're going to get the full Forsaken. Do you think we're going to get the full Forsaken? And if not, who do you think is going to be cut out, or who's going to be involved?
The prevailing theory is that we're going to get 8 rats because of the statues in Steppen's.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, it does.
Me and the editor will be on the same page because we're in the same community talking about shit. It's kind of collective hive mind.
Who do you think it's going to be?
So, Shamael Lanfear. I think Asmodian's going to be there because there was a statue with a guitar.
Do you think he'll be the person who teaches Rand? Do you think he'll be the person who teaches?
Okay. Oh, yeah, absolutely. He has to. Like, if they don't do that arc, it would be really disappointing, to be honest.
I agree.
I think he's such an important character.
Yes.
And then Demandred, right? So those are the four. No, I said Ishmael.
That's four. You said Ishmael, Lanfear, Asmodian, Demandred. Samael?
There's going to be one more dude, either Samael or Raven, I think. They might combine them
I think they would combine them.
I think they'll combine
I think who's gone is Aginor, Balthamel, and Belal, because they're not hardly do anything in this season.
Seems like Ishi's going to kind of be Aginor-ish because of the way he's like with the Trollocs, you know?
Yeah.
Do you think that they will bring in like Asangar or Arangar in a different way, maybe?
I honestly don't know. I don't know. I don't know at all. It's too early to tell.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about that the other day, though.
I think Moradin needs to exist in the back half of the season, of the show.
Really? Do you think so?
I think so.
Do you think it'll be a different guy, or...?
I think they would bring back the same actor.
See, my thoughts are...
I get Billy Zane, man.
my man! I knew I liked this guy.
This man is a genius.
I just feel like, you know, returning people, it's like, they're going to have to start really setting that up. I would love to see Asangar come back or Arangar come back. But also, I was thinking about that the other day. Like, will Moradin come back? Because you kind of have to, because of the way things end. You kind of have to have the new, younger, uninjured.
Why are you even doing the show if you're not going to stick to like some of the really, really big ticket things, right?
I'm right at the end of Memory of Light right now, listening to it.
Okay.
So good.
So that's my question. So, you know, we know the ending, right?
Yeah.
Do you think?
Des doesn't.
Okay. Des doesn't know the ending. But we know the ending.
Sure.
Do you think they stick with the ending, as controversial as it would be, because of you're talking about one actor becoming another actor, basically, and then it's very difficult to do. People would be so confused.
That's what I said. But you got to start setting it up now because it's so important.
Okay, I agree. It's important, but I don't think that American audiences, Amazon people, are going to be like, they're going to dumb it down. They're going to be like, nah. We're not going to do it.
It's a good question. Without giving it away, I think maybe there's a few changes they'll make, right?
Yeah.
So I think...
Rand will become Billy Zane at the end.
Yes! Yes.
If that was true, then that would be perfect.
That would be the shit, actually.
The literal Billy Zane, though.
So great.
I think certain people will die who didn't die in the books. Let's leave it there.
Really?
Okay.
I think so.
Well, we've already seen that with Aglimar. I mean, I think Aglimar's pretty dead.
Yeah. I think narratively it makes more satisfying, especially for a TV audience.
Yeah.
For some people to die and stay dead than anything else to happen.
Okay. All right.
You know, there are fake deaths in the series. I won't call them fake deaths, but there are deaths and reversals of deaths that happen in the series that you need.
Unless you see them dead on screen.
Well, there are some that are dead on the page and then not dead in a
return to life.
Exactly. So you have to use that sparingly, and you have to explain the mechanic very, very well. And so I think there's stuff that. It's going to happen in the latest. There was already so much fake death in episode 8. Fake and fake out, right? So there's fake deaths and there's fake out deaths. And there's too much of that already in the season finale. And I think they're not going to do that again in like season 8 or whatever the last season is going to be. It would be too unsatisfying to have people survive that we see die.
Yes.
Plus you have a main character faking his death at the end of season 1 and staying dead for most of season 2 as far as everybody knows. Also, I was saying, I was hearing that it's been 2 years since they've had the Battle of the Eye of the World. I'm hearing now more it's like 5 months. So what have you heard about that?
I haven't. I think I also read this thing about 5 months. I always assumed it was going to be a couple, like a small time jump. It can't be years because, I mean, what the heck have they been doing in Faldara the whole time? Because they do in the trailer show the shot of them sort of heading out on horseback, right? Like, well, they don't actually show them leaving Faldara, but they show them out on the plains.
Well, Min's already left Faldara, and then it shows, like, is that Perrin and that's Shannarans, right? Leaving Faldara? That's
exactly. What I'm assuming. Exactly.
Okay.
So it can't be that many months later, unless that's also a flashback scene. Yeah, so I'm going to guess. I think that 5 month statement's probably accurate. Let's see what happens.
But 5 months is almost like what the book probably was like. They were probably in Faldara.
That makes a lot more sense, so.
But that's like pretty close to what they were there for the book.
And they do have to spread the time out, right? Because we know, well, without giving it away, but we know that the entirety of the series takes an incredibly short amount of time in the books, right? And right, impossibly
like
short.
Crazy short. Like
it's crazy short. And I think in the show, they're going to have to lengthen that out, right? It's going to have to take in-universe time of like many, many years, right?
So, and I feel like they're setting that up already. That's when we were talking about the 2-year jump. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
But it makes sense.
That's the one thing we told Desmond. We're like, yeah, the whole book series probably takes 4 years. I think that's what it is.
No, less. It's 2.5.
Yeah. 2.5. Yeah. Like just under 3, I think.
Yeah.
So let's see. Speaking of exposition dumps, some news dumping. Hey, Barney Harris. There was a bunch of interviews. They pointedly say that character. They don't say his name. They don't even really say. They just say season one Matt.
Wow. Okay.
He is linked and in a. He is done with another movie. It is not even on IMDb yet. It's called Magpie. It's a horror movie. That's what I found. So. He's not dead, and he didn't quit acting, and he didn't...
He's not dead, thank God.
He didn't murder anybody, as far as we know.
We love Barney.
The other thing that I did find is that he's actually, and I don't know if you've seen this at all, he actually had to take legal action against Google to get them to remove some articles about... They didn't specify, but I'm assuming one was him being like an anti-vaxxer, or that he had some sort of a major issue with the cast. None of the cast have come out and said anything. Nobody's acted like he was a problem. And the one thing that I did see a quote from him is he said, my family was going through a lot and I had to be there for them. So, you know.
If anything, he was like.
It was very, very personal. Not anything to do with the show or anything like that.
It happened during COVID and he was like, I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, it was a very personal reason. It didn't have anything to do with showrunners or actors or in issues with other actors. It was just like, I need to be there for my family and you need to stop. Take down these articles that aren't accurate. And that was all I could find. And he's in a movie called Magpie, which apparently is a horror movie that's supposed to come out next year, I think. But anyways.
Good for him.
Glad to hear that. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's all good, which is good. That being said, just the few like YouTube interviews I've seen with Donald and the smirks, that dude's already Matt to me.
Yeah.
Anybody else seen it? Jeremy, did you watch any of them?
I've seen some of the stuff just that when they're talking about the series and stuff. So, and you know, I know no, it's still Barney Harris, still my man. Sorry. He's done a great job. He did a really good job. And then until the other guy takes over.
No, Barney was great, but I feel like, you know what? I think, you know, the mopey bad friend, Matt.
He's very mopey.
Goes right out the door with Barney, just like the healing and like, you know, fun Donald, I think is going to be perfect. I don't know how you feel, Mr. Etor, but.
I'm looking forward to him being like a little goofy.
I'm just going to refer to you as Doctor, if you're fine with that.
Doctor. So. Doc.
That's fine. Sure. Why not? I haven't watched the interviews either. So that's another thing I haven't deliberately.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I read about them. I mean, I've seen on Twitter like people's key takeaways and so on. And it looks like they do give away quite a lot in the interviews. There were some interviews that really go deep into plot and so on. So I decided, no, let's wait.
I didn't see that. I watched as many as I could find because I'm a psychopath like that.
There are some more recent ones, I think, in the last few days that have...
Give away a little more.
Yeah, what happens during the season and where characters end up or who they're with or what happens to them and so on.
Yeah, that's true. One of the things I saw from Perrin, all of them are very excited and know the source material, which makes me incredibly happy. Yosha, he's on his first reread. He's read all the books. The kid who plays Rand, and he is talking about how, you know, when Rand gives a child a coin, it's not, you know, it's because of, you know, his empathy, and he sees the bigger picture, you know, and the fact that Yosha sees the bigger picture is really cool.
Yeah.
And even Perrin makes a comment Marcus Rutherford makes a comment that Perrin was fine. Just kind of crying in the corner all season one, right? You know, he's like, you know, you get to be more of a character this season. And they're also excited about what's about to come out and what they're already working on in season three. It makes me very excited.
Yeah, same. I'm hoping that season two has a lot more action, number one, and a lot more sort of, you know, like a lot more momentum, I think. I think the middle of season one got really bogged down and surprisingly very little action in the season compared to like in the books. They're constantly in battles with Trollocs and hiding and fighting and so on.
They're running, they're fighting. It's always...
It was Winter Night. It was episode 4, which was more of a skirmish than anything else. And the finale was a bit, I mean, well, not even a bit. It was extremely underwhelming, right? So
very underwhelming, yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting how Robert Jordan writes, because he takes so much time with everything. And I don't know if this is on purpose or if he just gets legitimately excited and starts writing faster. But like... He takes so much time to explain the smallest details. The finales of these books are
fast.
Fast.
Extremely
fast.
Yeah,
after 2,000 pages of garb on certain characters in a city, like, yeah, it takes them like 10 pages to wrap it all up. And it's...
You're not wrong.
I think book one is like that, right? Like, especially like the kind of the entire journey through the Blight to the Eye and so on. Is just like the last 5 chapters.
Yeah, totally.
It's crazy. It's like when on a reread, you don't even realize, like, wait a minute, I'm 99% through this book, and when are we going? We're still stuck in Feldara.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I just finished 3, so that's all I've read.
Okay.
And I'm going to start 4. I need to take a breather, so I'm going to start 4 after season 2 airs.
4 is the best one. It's going to blow your mind.
4?
Completely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really good.
4 is where the series stops being Lord of the Rings and starts being its own thing.
Very cool.
Yes, absolutely.
Like starts really being its own thing. It's not this, the way to characterize it, it's an expansion of the world.
Yeah.
You go to locations you haven't been to before.
Well, it's when the world becomes whole.
You go to locations you haven't been before and you get lore dumps that... Like you just learn about the whole world and the prophecies and all of these and the histories and the future and so on. Like there's just a lot.
So I'm guessing after his editor, speaking of editors, got a hold of book 3, they just gave him $1 million and said, take your time.
Something like that.
I'm guessing.
It seems kind of like it seems like it's on pretty secure ground for now.
He told him that like he at the beginning, he was like, I can get this done in 3 books. And then he was like, I can get it done in 5 books. And then they were like,
take your time.
You write them, we'll sell them, baby.
And so once book 4 came out, he was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to take my time and just lay it all out. And here's what I have in my head. And that's when you start to really go, oh my God, all this is in his head.
Yeah,
totally. I know, that's insane to me just to have that much in your head.
Yeah.
Okay, going back to the interviews a little bit. Sorry. So if you see Rand teasing season three, and like you see him just like holding in his excitement to want to talk about things, it's awesome. You get to see the comfort level. Like at some point, Rosamund Pike's kind of like answering a question, and she just kind of like leans back and kind of leans over, like puts her arm kind of over behind Jelsha, you know. And it's like they're so comfortable and they have that vibe. It's so cool. You know, I love how much, you know, Zoe Robbins is like, even though she's like, I'm glad I don't have social media because I just fucking ruin everything because.
Yeah,
I love her for that, too.
I'm so proud that of what we've already done and what's to come, you know, and everybody, like all of the actors seem so all in. It's just awesome to see. Like, Jeremy, you should literally find some of them, dude, and watch them. Or even if you got to wait until halfway through the season, editor.
I've watched all of them.
Oh, really? Editor too. Like,
yeah.
I think you'd be happy with, you know, they're really giving Rand, like, he gets to have input on the character. Like, the reason why his head shaved this season is because Yosha. He's like, you know, I think you try to hide his heritage and try to change things. And that was Yosha's thing. So he's like, I love being in those meetings. It's really cool. Another interview thing, Daniel Henney would rather sponge bath a Trolloc than to brush and floss a Fade.
Yeah, well, obviously. Duh. You don't put your fingers anywhere near a Fade's mouth.
No. Editor, I know you're on Twitter, so I'm sure you've seen Kevin Angus. I'm not sure. He's obviously got some inside people on the Wheel of Time.
People guess/know that he's probably the guy running the Twitter account, right, for the show.
I'm thinking.
It seems...
He's obsessed with Trolloc nipples as well.
Yes. Yes.
So
him and Justin,
you know,
are obsessed with nipples.
In one of the press junkets, though, you know, it's literally his question. And the first question to Daniel Henney and Zoe Robbins is, which would you rather do? And Zoe Robbins kind of, or not Zoe Robbins, I'm sorry, Egwene, Madeline, I'm drawing a blank on her last name, but it's those two. And she kind of laughs at
Madeline Kahn. It's Madeline Kahn. No.
Madeline, thank you. And Jasmine's, no. She kind of laughs it off, and Daniel Henney's is like, oh, wow, that's a tough question. He gets all serious and shit.
Yeah.
So great. I loved it. Let's see. Da-da-da-da. You know, one of the people obviously has a screener, if you haven't seen this, Doctor, he says, you know, Vlan goes through a...
Should I take out my earphones for this?
No. He just says Land goes through a lot in the first four episodes. And, you know, that's interesting to me because, you know, obviously there's going to be some differences in how him and Moraine's relationship is. And so I'm curious, that'll be not book stuff. So I'm curious to see how they handle it, you know?
Like, I hope it's strong material. Because the worst thing is to deviate from the books and then put something weaker in, which they did, you know, in some parts of season one. As long as it's like really strong and really captivating, I think it'll be good.
Yeah, I completely agree.
That's one of the things. So the other day I was watching the new Guardians of the Galaxy movie, and I have zero like love for Guardians of the Galaxy as far as books or, you know, anything like that. But the movies I've always liked. And when the third movie came through and everybody was kind of like, man, I didn't like it. I was like, I love that movie. It was so good.
It was really
good. They all came together at the end. I was like crying at the end. It was so good. And
because you like bad stuff.
I do. I like bad stuff. But I like things that are like really well written.
It was a great movie. What are you guys talking about?
Exactly. It had heart.
I haven't even seen it. So
now I know what Desmond feels like when he's watching these shows where he has zero input as far as when it comes to the books. He doesn't care. He just wants the show to be good. Is the show good? And that's fine. Totally fine. For me, I want the show to be just like the book was. And if it deviates 100 at all, like, I am so upset.
I will always advise people to, if there's a show and a book and you're not sure which one to start, I'll always start with the movie or the show first.
You're smart.
Because then you get the kind of unfiltered experience, and then go read the books, because typically the books are better.
Yes, almost always.
Almost always the books are better. And the books are the books are
more detailed.
The books are canon, right? And the show is always an adaptation. So you go watch the adaptation without any preconceived notions, and then you go read what, you know, the canon, like what really happened.
Sure.
And then you get to appreciate both. If you ever read first, like I've never picked up Lord of the Rings, yeah? Which is a shame to say.
What? Really? Okay.
I genuinely did try, and I found it very, 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 very slow. It's very slow.
Very slow. I tried to read The Hobbit, too. It's the same thing. I was like, ugh.
You know what's really good is the novelization of the movie Jaws.
Okay. Peter Benchley's.
No, hold on. So first, it was a book first. Then it was a movie.
And then they novelized the movie.
Did they really?
So the book adaptation of the movie was better. I agree with some of that shit.
I'm so sorry. Never mind. I take it all back. Whatever I was saying.
All right. Sorry to interrupt your actual point there.
No, I was just saying that
we totally derailed him.
Damn it. Sorry. I lost my train of thought completely.
You fucked it, Des.
Talking about the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. You couldn't read Lord of the Rings because it was too slow.
One thing I deliberately didn't do was try to read it before the films came out. So I said, nope, not going to do that. I also didn't reread Wheel of Time before season one came out. I read afterwards. I'm not rereading any of the books before the TV season starts because I don't want it to be fresh in my mind. I want it to be like a faded, distant memory so that I can just experience the show for what it is. I think if you read too recently, then it's too jarring, the change, because the original scene is too fresh in your mind.
So did any of us read The Wheel of Time? Or not, sorry, not The Wheel of Time. Did any of us read...
yes, what?
Did any of us read Lord of the Rings? Anybody? Nobody? None of you? Wow, okay. There's this guy called Tom Bombadil.
Yeah. I know about that, yeah.
That comes in? Oh, yeah, you Tom? Yeah, and it is super weird. Like Lord of the Rings on acid type of things. It is super weird. You should read it just for that. Just for like the...
You realize by getting through the first three Wheel of Time books, I have doubled the amount of pages I've read in my life.
Yeah, that's probably true. You're probably right.
I'm not proud of that. that makes me a terrible person, but it's a fact.
I'm a terrible person and a horrible father.
So you're reading the books. You're not doing the audiobook thing, yeah?
No, I am doing.
No, he's totally doing the audiobook.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I listened to the only reason I got through book three was by putting it on double time, and going for a long drive.
And I listened so much faster. Like Jeremy started reading Gathering Storm, right?
Still on it, halfway through.
I started listening to Gathering Storm at the same time as he started. I am now about 3/4 of the way through Memory of Light.
Okay. How do you even put Gathering Storm down? Because like once you start it.
I've already read it.
All three of them. You're just like, brrr, you just got to keep going.
I'm a very busy man. I'm sorry.
He's got electric trains to build, man. He can't be reading these books.
Call me Bobby Bacala.
You're an empty nester and your wife's got tons of hobbies, bro. You have lots of free time.
That's true.
Doctor, have you seen any of the posters that they put on Twitter with like the cryptic things?
Still can't get used to that.
Is there something you'd rather us to call you? I don't know what to say.
Well, he's a PhD. He's not an MD. He's got a PhD in Wheel of Time.
It's fine. No, I did see all the clues and things they were dropping. Could not make heads or tails of it, but I knew someone in Twitter of time would figure that out. The character posters look really cool. I think the pairings are good. The Matt and Min pairing, I don't know if it was because they were the two leftover characters or if they're genuinely going to be in the same scene or whatever.
I was going to say, you're taking my question. And do you think that it's going to be giving any clues? Because everybody else kind of seems to be characters who may be together.
Yeah.
Do you think that it's going to be Matt and Min together? Maybe, I was thinking maybe Matt, Min, and Nynaeve go after Egwene and Elaine because they don't go when they take off.
So I wonder, because Min evacuated Faldara at the end of season one. There's no chance.
Well, she probably went back to Tarvaelen because she's a bartender there, right?
No. But she wouldn't go back there, right? It's too dangerous with all the Aes Sedai around.
That's true.
And they made a point of what Moraine told her, like, you know, you'd be hounded all day if we knew what you were, you know?
But she does have to go back to Tarvaelen story-wise.
Oh, that's true.
Sooner rather than later.
Maybe.
Right? That's true.
Well, so maybe she won't be there as Min. She'll be as El Mindreda, but I don't think she'll get there till season three.
I wonder if that caravan doesn't maybe evacuate and goes down to the White Tower for protection type of thing, and that's how she ends up there.
That's what I was thinking.
It's a hell of a distance. They should just go to the next borderland town if it was me. But yeah, maybe that's kind of what they end up doing, and that's how she gets there. And we know Matt is there already, so... Yeah, could be that. Could be that they that they that they have screen time together because they're both in the same place.
That's kind of what I'm just kind of thinking about that. That'd be interesting. One of the other posters that I thought was really cool, one of the things that gets translated is they talk about how, I can't remember the exact phrasing, but they say he healed, like basically he healed his mind out of being an asshole, not kindness, you know? So, and they're referring to Winter Dragon, or, you know, the scene when he heals Lutheran so he can know what he did.
Oh, so he heals him like out of spite, but not out of like love.
Yeah, yeah, not out of kindness, you know, so he can know what he did.
He does it so that he can know what he did.
Right. Yeah,
exactly.
When I thought that was pretty cool. What do you guys think? Seraph, maybe a Forsaken or nah?
No, I don't think so.
I would be disappointed if it was.
Just because there is a certain Forsaken that ends up with the Shan Chan at a certain point. So you think they might just like jump that shark and get him, you know, start it right off the bat.
I mean, anything's possible after the first season, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, you were being so positive.
That ended quick, didn't it?
I'd be disappointed if it was, because I think the Forsaken are usually the manipulators behind the scenes.
Right.
They're not the front and center person. And I think that, I don't know, I don't feel good about that merger.
Yeah, you've seen the pictures of Ishii with her, so like...
Yeah, I mean, they don't cooperate, right? Like, it would be weird to, if he was just standing there next to her.
No, if they ever got on the same team, everybody'd be fucked.
Exactly.
Seriously.
I don't know if this is spoilery, but I read an alt text. Apparently, Lady Celine, excuse me, is an innkeeper in Karheen.
I saw that in the Foregate, actually, specifically, I think.
Yeah, they say, actually, I think they do say in the Foregate. I think you're right.
Look, I mean, either way, it doesn't really matter, right? I don't know. I mean, God, I hope we don't actually see her in her establishment, because in the books, whatever she tells Rand is just a cover story, right? So this could just be a cover story.
Yeah, it's all horseshit. So
exactly. So hopefully this is just a cover story. Like, I don't actually want her to have a profession and a business that she's running. That would be really weird.
You're a liar.
She's a cobbler. She's really good at making shoes, guys.
Should have had to buy that in very quick time. Yeah, she didn't have a lot of time from.
No, well, no, she didn't buy it, dude. What did you think she did? She killed that innkeeper or some shit. That is dead.
Or just compelled her to give the you know.
Yeah, you're gonna go pick radishes in the waste.
The power of light compels you. The power of light compels you.
Jesus,
Caroline. Dennis,
15, 20 more minutes. I want to talk about the Dark Friend Social.
Yeah. We got 20 minutes.
Okay. And then a couple of just like fun, you know, what you hope to see your theories and see how well it stands up. And then that's it. I think that's about it. Unless there's anything you guys want to talk about.
Sounds good.
I'm going to have lots to say. I'm so excited to talk about the show. You're going to have to shut me up next week.
Wow.
I have a show to talk about.
Yeah. Oh, I'm stoked. Dr. Etor, do you know what time it comes out where you're at?
If we believe the time that they published, I think it's like 7 a.m. UK time, so GMT, right? I think that's what they said.
Okay.
The prevailing logic is that they want to compete with Thursday Night Football, but honestly, it's a fantasy TV show. I mean, who cares?
Yeah.
Like,
we're the only three people on the planet. That's like, we're the, yeah. So thanks. I mean,
that's
thanks.
Why I have multiple TVs in my house.
I mean, thanks, because I want to watch Thursday Night Football, but oh, you know what, though? You know where they play Thursday Night Football? Amazon Prime.
Oh, that's true. No, he's totally right.
Oh, right.
Amazon Prime. Yes.
Good point. Mm-hmm.
And last time they dropped in December after, and I don't think there's any more Thursday Night Football in December, or maybe there's like one or two or something like that. Are there any sports in the Wheel of Time universe?
Wow.
No.
Holy shit. What a...
Yeah. You catch badgers and release them in people's houses. That's a sport.
That's true, too. Yeah. In the Age of Legends, before the Dark One was released, swords was
fencing.
Was basically
right.
Like playing swords was their way. They became war, but that's how they would like. That was a sport.
So maybe archery, but
yeah,
that'd be it. But even that's a stretch.
Trying to survive. That's their sport.
Yeah. Swimming, running, living, hunting.
Hoping to God that there's a winter this year, or not a winter this year.
Basic shit. Okay. Last thing I really want to like throw out there, just because we got my man here. Tell me about what you thought about the Dark Friend Social release. Like, what do you think about what that? I feel like that sets up so much stuff, but there's a few things that are away. Like, what do you think the statue, like the headstone type things outside are?
Yeah.
You know, just, you know.
Okay. So let's start with the trivia. So those headstone statue things, I think they represent the seals, but they aren't the seals, right? They wouldn't just be randomly at a house outside somewhere. I think it's more like an Easter egg thing. So this is clearly a Dark Friend's house, and maybe those statues are like it's decoration, right? It's there to represent the seals.
Right. The one is knocked over, like maybe representing that Ishmael's free.
It's interesting that the one is knocked over, because why would that statue be knocked over just because Rand did something at the Eye of the World to break the seal? So I don't know if that's symbolic or...
Because movies...
If they're a representation, then they would want to represent what's happening.
I suppose. So I suppose if the owner of the house went outside and pulled one of the statues over and pushed him into
the floor and cracked, just exactly. Kicks it over. I'm so mad.
I think someone's counted. There's only 6 statues outside the house, not 8.
Yeah, there's not 8.
Who knows, man? Who knows? It could just be an Easter egg, right? Like in the end, there's stuff that's Easter eggs and there's stuff that's foreshadowing, and it's hard to tell the difference sometimes.
I'm sure you saw the breakdowns of like the seals and like what they thought represented what, as far as the little...
Yeah, the eight points of the star of the compass almost. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then like, well, and then they started to break down the little symbols on the star with the statues, and it was pretty good. I thought, you know, like one of the ones looked like a spider. One of the ones, honestly, it looked like the 9 bees, which I don't know why they would know about the 9 bees of Ilion, unless maybe it meant something in the Age of Legends, but just they start to attach it. And then there's really solid theories on each Forsaken that they attach to, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I watched this breakdown video from Lauren, Unraveling the Pattern.
Yeah.
And it was really, really good. Yeah.
That dude's solid. His videos are really good.
He is freaking amazing, man. Like, I think he's like quality wise, probably the best, like Wheel of Time YouTuber that's out there.
Yeah, as far as like theorizing and stuff, like I love John from What Up. He's always got scoops, you know, he's always got news scoops. Like that's where he's at. Dark Friend Social, little girls, she's a tinker, right?
I thought so.
There's been speculation, and yes, the clothing does look like a tinker's clothing. There's also speculation that it could be Amadeusian style clothing because it matches the description in the books. But I think
I saw the clip of the actual thing matching one of the Tuathawan in season 1.
Oh yeah, okay. Look, for me, visually, as a TV viewer and as a TV audience, you're not going to expect people to think anything other than that's a tinker, because it doesn't even matter if it's Amadeusian clothing or whatever. You're just confusing the audience because it looks too close to the tinker's clothing. So I'm pretty sure that that's going to be a tinker girl with her mom.
Are you talking about the linchpin of the entire series?
What do you mean, that fucking baby?
That baby.
Fucking baby. Okay, so obviously that's not the Tinker's house then.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a Tinker's house, so whose house is it? I know the Black Aja, they hide out with like a rich merchant in Amadeusa, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it could be that. Right? It could be that merchant's house. And maybe what will happen, because it's such an iconic shape and they always show it in a drone shot, maybe, who knows, later in the season, or next season, or whenever they reuse it, they'll find that there's some Black Sisters going to move in there or operating from there as a base and so on. So it's almost like, you know, they're setting it up now and could be a callback for later.
Last thing about the Dark Friend Social. Des, you and Jeremy both have seen that, right? Pod and Fane at the end, you're seeing that he's not just your average fucking Dark Friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that you can kind of see no one else is reacting to the little girl. No one else. It's kind of like the Dark Friend Social. No one seems to be able to hear what's going on, but Pat and Fane can. And he sees that little girl and he pulls back his hood to like kind of show her like the grin, like he could just eat her alive. Is he's a good villain.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see where they take his character.
He's a very mustache twirling type of villain, right? Like he's very, very theatrical with his displays.
Well, also he's like, he's not afraid to show his face. Everybody else is like, okay, cover themselves.
Yeah. I'd like to, for me, I'm not a big fan of the trailer clip, so I do want to see it properly in context. And the reason is that there's little to no tension in the scene whatsoever, the way it's being displayed in the trailer, right? Like the girl's running in, she comes inside, she disturbs the meeting, you know, Dark One is there.
So you don't think that scene is as is, you think they've cut it up?
No, I think that scene is as is, but what's before and what's after will contextualize it, right? But just that scene.
Nothing's before.
No, they'll show the Dark Friends arriving. I'm sure there was one teaser way back when they showed the shots of these people walking away from camera.
Pod and Fane's walking down the hallway.
That's the one. I think we're going to be in Pod and Fane's point of view when he arrives, and then we'll see the Dark Friends.
You don't think that could be him walking back into the meeting after taking the girl outside?
No, we're talking about Pod and Fane, not Ishii.
Oh, okay.
The peddler, the brother with the big teeth.
Sorry. I thought we were still talking about the social.
No worries. No, so I do want to see the context for that clip, because the clip in isolation is very boring. I mean, compared to book two, you're in the POV of Bors, right? And
yeah,
everything is heightened. There's a palpable sense of tension and unknown. He's puzzled by what he hears and what he sees.
Well, and there's Trollocs in the room, correct? Trollocs and Mudral in the room with them, right?
I believe so, yeah.
So that would be...
Exactly. And everyone there is, like, because people are standing there walking around and people are coming to serve them drinks and whatever, it feels very dynamic. And obviously, you're sitting inside his head, so you feel the tension from what his thought process is. The way it's shot in the show, because, look, and this is why I say you need that scene before, right, to really establish what this is and so on. What they really show in that short clip is Dark One is chattering about some random nonsense. Not random, but like, he's just talking, right? It's a board meeting. You know, the chairman of the board is giving the guys his strategy and...
Yeah, he's pontificating on his plans.
A girl runs in, he calmly sort of, and kind of just, as you would with a small child, you know, calmly, like, takes her outside and so on. Everyone's sitting around. I know Patton Fenn opens his hood, but like, everyone else is just sitting there. So I want to see them... I want to see them being either channeled into being static or being scared of Ishii to sit still and not move, right? Otherwise, it's just a scene in which no one's reacting. That's just not good television. So I need to see the before and after, right? Maybe they got bound into those positions, and after the meeting's over, they get released or something like that. And then you think, what? How can Patton Fane even move if he's supposed to be bound like the rest were?
That's what I was saying. I feel like he's starting to show you that he's, you know, something other than just a normal dark friend already. Who do we think the two Aes Sedai that are there are?
You shouldn't discuss that, right? If you haven't finished all the books.
Fair enough. We're bad about that.
I'm okay. I.
No. Don't. There's some.
We're not spoiler free, but you know.
One reveal is okay, but the other one you need to read. And you need
yeah,
you need
yeah,
to get
yeah.
very, very, very
He knows. He kind of already knows, but
he knows.
He'll forget.
Oh yeah. Yeah, exactly. I've definitely been told directly and forgotten it on this podcast, without a doubt.
Yeah. It's fine, because I know him well enough, like, to where when it comes back around, he's gonna be like, holy fuck.
Yeah. Spoilers aren't that big a thing for him. He's not a big deal. Like, he's not like, eh.
Okay.
Yeah, he doesn't give a shit.
I'm in deep. So I I would
sure. Because I think one of them would be a bad giveaway, like what you're saying. I think it's a certain blue Aja who you know,
not a blue, a different one. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking of a certain blue that I think's there. So.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I'm thinking of a brown. Anyway.
I know who you're thinking of.
Yeah.
Also, that was one of the clips that you say, no spoilery. You just get to see Varen kind of doing this with some weaves in one of the clips today. And I was like, ooh.
Oh, okay. Very cool.
Legit. She looks great. What is her name? Mira Sayal?
Mira Sayal. Yeah.
Dude, she looks legit as Varen. Love it. So good.
Is that part of the accepted list?
I don't. No, I don't think she was that, because it was just what I saw. There was only three Aes Sedai. She wasn't one of them.
I think there's going to be a lot of channeling this season. I think they're going haywire with the special effects.
Can I ask you real quick, editor? What is one of your favorite characters? Who it's maybe not a main character. Justin and I both really love Varen. We think she's a great character. We can't stand Galad, or I'm sorry, Gawain. We can't stand Gawain. Gawain is a terrible character. Every decision he makes is terrible.
I hate Gawain less on this last reread, but he's still fucking annoying.
He's written to be hateable and annoying. And I think Robert Jordan succeeds in writing him very well.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Who would be your side character that you liked?
It's not a question I've actually pondered for very long. I think probably Tom, because he's just got so much
absolutely
interesting backstory. He's got so much backstory. It's insane. And the things he does.
He's in a part of a lot of almost every cool thing in the books.
Yeah. And just his history as well, right? Like the stuff that he did before the series took place.
Yeah.
It's crazy, actually. It's.
Yeah.
What about like super minor characters? Like who would be like a character that like maybe in one or two books that you really love?
It's got to be Basil Gil or Bale Dorman, right? Those two are the OGs.
Bail Doman. That's
Dez's favorite.
Bail Doman.
Nice.
That's my guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Him and Basil Gill and Lini and Laras, I think.
What about Lamwyn, dude? Like, why are you going to hate on Lamwyn?
Now, would you be bummed if, like if Edward Norton showed up as somebody for 4 episodes? Would you?
That'd be awesome.
Okay, cool.
What?
It would be very cool.
Well, maybe not Edward Norton, but just someone big, like
meet Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, exactly. No. Ed Sheeran.
That poor
Ed
guy.
Ed Sheeran could be an Aiel, right? So we'll see him somewhere in the West.
Yeah,
just a chubby like shopkeeper Aiel, though.
Yeah, shopkeeper or blacksmith or something. I don't know.
5 minutes, guys.
Okay. Jeremy, fuck your minor character. Desmond, fuck your minor character. My minor character is Andrel. Andrel, I love Andrel, man. Like, dude, the stuff that he pulls off.
Oh, you and Andrel.
With the fucking gateways and the lava at the end. And the way he is able to use gateways so many cool ways, I love.
That's a Brandon Sanderson character. Nerd.
I wonder if he counts as a minor character. By the way, a piece of trivia, right? It's Andrel's a Brandon invention.
Really?
When he took over. He asked Harriet, give me one Asherman that I can sort of write. And then they went back and they found Andrel in a page in Knife of Dreams somewhere. And Brandon basically wrote that character of his own. So that whole arc is Brandon's doing.
So you're a terrible fan, is what you're saying. You're a terrible fan.
Oh, eat shit. I love that he has the two Rivers boys and Candler and then like the one Amaran or whatever. Like all of it's not just Andrel, it's Pavara, and they kind of bond each other, so they get this almost like psychic connection, and the two Rivers channeling guys and all the stuff that's being done in the Black Tower and how they fight to make the Black Tower their own, I thought was super cool. And I just want to leave you with two questions. Is Persimmons a deeper meaning, like some dark friend fucking code? Hey, the Persimmons are in season. Atlanta's like, I don't know. Yeah, great. They're delicious. I, you know what? We hooked up once. It's not going to happen again. I'm not interested in the Great Lord.
Persimmons is me and my wife's safe word. Anyways.
I asked you not to embarrass me. And I went out of my way not to embarrass myself. And the other question, and I feel like somebody's got to have floated this theory. I tweeted it. Jesus Christ.
You X'd it.
I X'd it out.
Yeah.
sorry. Wow. Okay. It's getting late over here. A couple whiskeys in. You bong it. So what if you can only make a Trolloc from like the soul, like when you pledge yourself to the dark and you die, that's your life. You're now a Trolloc. When you get reborn the next time from the wheel, you're a Trolloc.
Yeah.
That would suck.
That would suck.
But I'm just like, has anybody floated this theory on Twitter anywhere? Like, you know, I just...
So, there's a canonical book origin for the Trollocs, right? Aginor made them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Aginor.
Graphic novel?
No. It's some way explained. Maybe in the Wheel of Time Companion or the...
Compendium?
What are they called? The World of Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time Compendium book. So, there's a whole thing. Like, Aginor was the one who invented, for want of a better word, Trollocs. I don't remember exactly how it was, whether it's human-animal hybrids or what, but something like that.
When they said that he killed like millions, like 50 million people creating the Trollocs or some shit like that, like some just crazy number.
Yeah. So that's it. That
I don't know. That was just two things that I thought, like, you know, pose a question. It's like...
Be interesting theory, though. It wouldn't really make you want to join, right? Like, if you think, in my next life, I'm going to be a Trolloc.
How's that good?
Well, that's like fine print shit. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, yeah, sign here. And they're just like, oh, by the way, when you die, you'll become a Drakkar, a Trolloc, you know.
Or a Merdral.
Maybe something in the Blight, like a worm. No, Merdrals are born through Trolloc.
It's true. Doing it. That's true.
Yeah.
They're throwbacks of the DNA of Trolloc.
There's a smell. Yeah. Trolloc sex. Delicious.
And what are they having sex with? Like, so gross. Trollocs are gross.
That's how they season your corpse before they eat you.
Oh God!
I'm sure there's a rule 54 for Trollocs as well.
I don't think I got much else. Like, is there any one thing that you guys want to like?
No, let's just watch the show.
Take a big swing. Like, hey,
watch the show. Make it be bad.
make me be sad.
Oh, you're dead. You're going to be dead to me. I will divorce you as a cousin. Or something that you just like, man, Jeremy, is there one thing that if you saw would make you forget about every other shitty thing?
No.
That you, I don't say shitty thing from my point of view. I've watched it from a fan point of view and from an analysis point of view. And just watching it as a show, I really enjoyed it.
If honestly, it's not going to be this season, obviously. So it's not going to be this season. But if I see the brand going back in the columns,
yeah,
and seeing like everything that happens,
yeah,
that would, for me, that would be like, okay, that's a major turnaround. Such a turnaround. Like you really have grabbed the lore. You wanted to really make it your own. And even if it's not perfect, it's not the exact same thing that we would have seen in the books. If they go and he's like walking through the columns and he's going back through his life, the lives of his ancestors, and he's seeing the Aiel and what happens to them. If we see that.
Careful, spoilers.
Yes. If we see that, then friggin', that would be, for me, it'd be amazing.
Yeah. They need to do that well. Like that needs to be a whole episode on its own. No cutaways to any other characters.
Yeah. No cutaways. Just one straight cut. That I feel the same way, except as a whole. And like, I know you probably won't get Moraines and Rands and Matts. You'll probably get what matters and probably more Matt than anything else. You have to have Sindhal, Tower of Genji, those Turangriel doorways. They're very integral to the story.
That's way down the line, though.
No, it's not. I bet you it's not, because I saw...
The problem is they're not going to Tyr, right? So those doorways need to be somewhere else.
Not this season, but I saw them talking about season 3, and they say something about season 3 being so epic and almost psychedelic. So I'm thinking what you're talking about with Rand.
Okay.
Anyways, that's all. That's all I had. I'm done. Shut up.
Oh, my God. I just want to throw two pennies down the well. Just keep giving me the show. Just don't fuck this up as a show. Don't squander your audience by waiting another 18 months for season 3. Don't like not pay your actors so they don't want to work for you. So like, I mean, just figure out, make a plan. Do you know, Eddie, like, have you heard how many seasons they're planning? Like, is there a plan? Like, we want to do 5, we want to do 6, we want to do, like, they've said that, or that's what you're hoping, Justin?
I've heard 8.
8? Okay. I think 8 would be perfect. But make a plan, make an arc, and fucking execute it. Because I think this is...
Someone's passionate.
Because I love TV. I'm not here. I would have never read these books. I'm only reading it because the show came out. I am show first, and then the books are my filler. And I like TV, and I don't make any bones about it. And I like this show, and I like this podcast. And I don't want to know what Justin's going to talk about on this show if we run out of Wheel of Time.
We'll never. I'm in a constant reread or re-listen, so we'll never run out of shit.
And I'll always listen, you know, rewatch Arrested Development, so we'll have something to talk about.
I'm telling you, our Patreon audience, we're gonna get the Patreon audience.
Nothing but Arrested Development.
We're gonna keep adding tiers to it, man. We're gonna have Arrested Development. We're gonna have Parks and Rec.
Oh my God, it'd be so great. You watch the show? Jail. If you don't watch the show, also jail.
you go to Patreon? Jail. You don't go to Patreon? Jail.
Also jail.
Also jail. Believe it or not, also jail.
Also jail.
Also jail. And I think I speak for these other two morons with me, Doctor, that honestly, you're welcome anytime.
Hit
me up if you want to come on. If you want to come on for any of our commentaries, we're going to start doing Patreons where we just watch like a fantasy movie. Like if you ever feel like being silly and coming on there, like, dude, just hit us up and we'll plan one, man.
We'll probably do Lord of the Rings at some point.
Hell yeah.
Probably do. Yeah,
extended editions.
Because I don't want to.
No.
4 hours?
Most of it's credits. I've already had this conversation on here. 30 minutes of the extra 50 is credits.
All right.
Not a big deal.
Yeah, he has actually.
Can I ask editor? Like what time is it right now? It's 9:30 in California right now. What is it?
It's 8:30 a.m.
8:30 a.m. This guy is a trooper. A trooper.
getting up and
he is. And you know what? He was ready to go last night.
hit me up at 8 o'clock. Ready to go when you are. And I was like,
oh no,
I'm so sorry.
I felt so bad. No, I felt like an asshole.
It's fine. It's good.
And I was like, you're still going to be here, right? And he's like, I'm going to try, man. And they got this project. He hit me up today. Like, dude, you're awesome.
He's like, it's 8:30 a.m. on Thursday. Well, we're still at 9:30 p.m. on Wednesday.
You know, Des, we got to have this man on a Time Pop episode because he is in the future.
He's in the future.
Totally. That's like, that's time travel.
Yeah.
No, honorary Wolf brother for life, bro. I appreciate you being on. You have great insight.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Really. And thank you, guys. Really appreciate you giving me the space to, you know, come on and chat about things.
Oh, man, you're welcome anytime.
And if you're welcome to, I don't know if you got to go, you're welcome to stick around for the outro.
Yeah, sure.
But I want everyone to know, if you want more editor, there will be more editor in the future. But past editor, season one, episode 39 is when he first came on to talk about his edit. So check that out. And
yeah,
before I roll into my credits, do you have any websites or social medias you want to hype?
Yeah, please give where you're going to be, you know, your first season one edit was at, please. It was so good.
So if anybody wants to watch it, it's at firemerkstudios.com/wheeloftime Eye of World. Anyway, go to Firemerk Studio. In fact,
find the link in our notes. The link will be in our notes.
I'll make it easy. I'll make it easy for you. Google Wheel of Time fan edit. It's going to be the top results anyway. So
great.
You'll find it there. It's on all the different social media platforms. The link to the site. Yeah.
And we will be expecting your season two edit within 8 hours of the last episode.
You know what? Let's see how the season goes, right? And then take it from there. I do have in mind that, you know, let's keep an open mind.
Well, you can come on the commentaries with us, and that'll be a great, we can help, we can work it out with you in real time. What's got to go?
Absolutely. No, that would be amazing.
That would be great.
One thing I wanted to ask you, are you looking forward to this? Like it's a hobby that you really want to get, like just sink your teeth into, or like, oh my God, I'm going to waste so much time on this, but I can't not do it.
Somewhere between the two, right? Like
okay.
I do find it therapeutic, right? It's enjoyable because it's a problem that you need to solve. I don't mean the show is a problem. I mean, like the challenge of editing a season into a movie.
Sure.
It's like an interesting problem. Like how much do you cut away? If I cut this, how does it affect the rest of the arc of that character or the plot and so on? So it's a lot of, you're problem solving like hundreds of little small decisions. And it's a very cool, it's very cool when it comes together. It's very frustrating when it doesn't.
Do you feel like a lot more sympathy for people who actually like are professional editors now?
Yeah, for sure. And I don't think I didn't feel sympathy for them before, but like, I think there's a lot that goes into it, right? And they, I mean, what I'm editing is the final footage, which is one video track and six audio tracks. Those guys are dealing with 10 different takes. So I don't even know what size of monitor they must be using, because they've probably got 10 video tracks and different camera angles. And then they've got hundreds of sound effect, like sound channels, and they all have to mix it and all those things.
And these guys don't even have to hit like regular television. Like they don't got to hit commercial breaks and 42 and a half minutes on the nose. Like imagine those people. Like I can't even imagine. Some mental, like, just gymnastics.
I feel bad for Desmond, and he has to just deal with his audio, my audio, and Justin's audio. And yeah, now, like,
my and your nose, and my bong hits, and my dog's drinking water in the background.
He makes me sound so smart, and I am so stupid, and you have no idea.
I know. I sound like Barry White, and I talk on this thing like fucking Urkel.
Yeah. Thank the light for listening to our podcast. Please rate us. Please like us. Tell a friend about our show. Thank the light. I'm going to ask you again, please. I hope we're getting some new fans here that are picking up for season two. Listen to our old episodes. Watch season one. Watch the edit of season one on Firemerk. The link is in our notes. Check that out. And we are doing something very special here starting in September. We kind of hinted at it before. The Wheel of Time, we have, actually, it's open right now. We have a Patreon. We've given you lots and lots of episodes for free. We are going to continue to give you lots and lots of episodes for free. If you would like to help support us, we will give you exclusive episodes just for you. $3, people, $3 a month. on Patreon. We'll get you a full length episode about a different fantasy movie. We don't want to hide any Wheel of Time content from you. So we're going to take a different fantasy movies and talk about them, most likely unfairly compare them to the Wheel of Time. And that is awesome. It's going to be great. And if you are one of the first 10 people to sign up for our Patreon, you get to pick one of the movies we do. So get on there, help us program our that's like a year's worth of content is going to be whatever you guys want to watch. So head on over to that. You will also, if we can get 30 Patreon subscribers by the end of September, you're all going to get a shirt.
Heck yeah.
You're all going to get a sticker anyways. Anyone who signs up for the Patreon in September, you're going to get a sticker no matter what. If we get 30 plus, you're all going to get a bonus merch. You're going to get a Thank the Light t-shirt to show all your friends how fucking cool you are.
And we're going to start doing a movie a month?
One Patreon movie a month. $3 a month, one movie a month. And if that goes well, people, we'll have some different tiers. Maybe beg for a few more dollars, but then give you even more content. We're going to have a lot of fun with this. This is my job. These other people have real jobs that they go to. This is what I do for a living. Some people pay me to edit, but the shows that I do for the fun of it. And so I need to start turning that into a few dollars. And then that's going to go to equipment. It's going to go to merch. It's going to go, to our
more episodes.
It's going to go to more episodes. We're going to get Jeremy an arm so we don't have to listen to a bang on his table.
I'm trying not to.
We're going to buy tickets to WokeCon. We're going to buy tickets to WokeCon so you can see us there live. It's going to go to great stuff. It's not just going to go to Justin's pot fund. We're going to do good stuff.
He gets it for free.
We're going to make the show better.
Yeah, man.
Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parsailman. That is Wolf Brothers at Parsailman. Send us question, comments, and your theories for season 2. Get them in now where they're hot and fresh. Otherwise, we're going to know you watch the show and you're a liar. Thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. If you're looking for another great podcast to listen to while you wait for the next episode of Thank the Light, I'm going to hype one show and one show only. Next Thursday, people, next Thursday, check out Time Pop. Go to Time Pop : the Time Travel Movie Podcast, and you will hear these two. I do the show all the time. I'm always talking time travel. It's a great show. We're going to double down on episodes of Time Pop. If you're into time travel, you're into movies, fucking check out Time Pop, but especially check it out because it's me, Justin, and Jeremy doing a special Time Pop episode.
Guest Chrononauts.
Yeah.
Chrononauts. Holy fuck, people. I can't not wait. So from now, during season 2, we're going to whenever the show comes out, we're going to watch it as soon as we can, assuming it's not middle of the night. So it might be first thing in the morning. And we're going to record as soon as we can after watching it. And I'm going to get it to you guys. So our release is going to be a little bit later, probably, but it's going to be super fresh after the episode airs. So get ready for that.
Maybe Saturday releases.
Yeah, whenever I'm done editing it, it goes up. I'm not going to have a release time. It's just going to be whenever we can get done and I can chop and screw it. I'm going to send it out there. And we're going to, in order to do that, they might be a little bit short. You might be like, wow, they left a lot of stuff on the table. That's because we're going to come back with our commentaries, and then we're going to have a whole off season to just strip it down to its nuts and bolts. So we're just going to get our first takes out there hot and fresh. So get ready for that. And we're going to have 3 episodes. We're going to do a different episode for each episode, and those are going to come out right away. We're not going to wait to release, you're not going to get episode 3 weeks from now. You're going to get boom, 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 3 episodes over that first weekend, and we're going to be off and running. Yeah, it's going to be a shit show. This first 3 episode drop is going to be a shit show. We'll have a text thread going, and we'll be keeping an eye on Amazon, and we'll get them done, and then we'll know for the next week it's only gonna be one episode, so even if we have to record at 10:30 or something,
right,
one episode won't be too bad.
Sure.
Eddie, thanks, man.
Thank you so much.
We needed some fresh. I mean, Justin could have just monologued this whole episode, but having your energy on here for him to bounce shit off of is what our audience they deserve before we launch season 2 next week. So thank you.
Totally agree. And it's so cool having somebody with a smart accent on the show as opposed to our stupid accents.
I know you had a long night last night, and I really appreciate you, you know, getting up, making the time to be here, man. I know the time difference is crazy, so.
No, dude, I'll always make the time, man. It's really a pleasure to be on, and thank you for giving me the time as well to join you guys, so that was cool.
You're welcome anytime, and may you always find water and shade, nerds. Fucking next week, baby.
Let's go.
I slept until 10:30 because I worked all night, you dummy.
Yeah, dummy. Whoop-dee-doo.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
No, let's not start this.